In our last three lessons this semester, we've been looking at the attributes of God, and it's always a good thing to get to know the God we love and serve better. Through our time spent in His Word, contemplating His character, we can come to trust Him more and learn better how to live a life that pleases Him. And the more we get to know Him, the more we desire to praise and worship Him for who He is. It is a life-changing pursuit as we apply His truth to our hearts and minds and allow Him to mold and shape us into the godly women He desires us to be. As A.W. Tozer said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. We go to His Word to get that accurate picture so that we think rightly about who He is and all He has done for us. Last week, Jenna shared with us the immutability of God. He is unchanging in His being, in His character, in His Word, and in His purposes. His character is perfectly fixed, eternally consistent. In Malachi 3:6, God says, "For I, Yahweh, do not change." Carrie told us about the eternality of God. His purposes are determined from eternity, and His eternal plan and time come together. He sees everything all at once, the end from the beginning. We, as created beings, are bound by time, and He is not. In Isaiah 43:13, He declares, "Even from eternity, I am He." Jackie started off our series reminding us that God's attributes work in perfect harmony as they support one another to accomplish His purposes. That will become even more evident in the weeks ahead as we move on and see how the attributes connect and even overlap. In describing the aseity of God, she said He is self-existent, meaning He has no beginning or origin, He is self-sufficient, He has no need outside of Himself, and He is independent, not reliant upon anything else for existence or being. His knowledge is not dependent on learning or being taught. Isaiah 40:13 and 14 says, "Who has encompassed the Spirit of Yahweh, or as His counselor has informed Him? With whom did He take counsel, and who gave Him understanding? And who taught Him in the path of justice, and taught Him knowledge, and made Him know the way of understanding?" God's wisdom is incomparable. No one has informed, counseled, or taught Him. He does that for us. Our knowledge is nothing compared with His. No one needed to help Him understand or teach Him judgment or give Him knowledge. He already knows all things. That brings us to our topic for today, the omniscience of God. God is omniscient. He has perfect and complete knowledge of all things, past, present, and future. From grand cosmic events to the smallest personal details, He doesn't need to learn or discover any new truths. He has total awareness of every event, action, thought, and feeling, encompassing every detail of the universe and its inhabitants, including you and me. We'll talk more about that later. He perceives all of time simultaneously from an eternal vantage point, unlike us as we see it sequentially on a timeline. God's knowledge is without error or limitation and provides us with the assurance that He is in control and has a perfect understanding of His creation. Pastor Jesse defined it this way: God knows all that is knowable. He said God's knowledge is comprehensive, perfect, sure, actual, meaning all He has ordained will come to pass. In Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, God says, "Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my counsel will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure." In Job 37:16, Elihu challenges Job's view of himself and his situation, declaring God is, one, perfect in knowledge. as he was describing God's power in one of the many wonders observed in creation. Arthur Pink, in his book on the attributes of God, described it this way. God is omniscient. He knows everything, everything possible, everything actual, all events and all creatures of the past, the present, and the future. He is perfectly acquainted with every detail in the life of every being in heaven, in earth, and in hell. He said nothing can be hidden from him and nothing is forgotten by him. His knowledge is perfect. There are no errors in it and nothing is overlooked. And he added this sobering reminder that while he is invisible to us, we are not so to him. God possessed all the knowledge he has from eternity. His knowledge of the past, present, and future is complete. There is nothing more than he can know or learn, and he knows all things equally well, no one thing better than another. He never makes a new discovery. He's never surprised or amazed. He never wonders about anything. He has no need to seek further information or do research. He knows what none of us as his creatures can ever know, himself perfectly. Unlike you and I, God possesses perfect knowledge and has no need to learn anything new. In fact, he never needed to learn anything. He already knew all things. Tozer said, he knows all that can be known, and this he knows instantly and with a fullness of perfection that includes every possible item of knowledge concerning everything that exists or could have existed anywhere in the universe at any time in the past or that may exist in the centuries yet unborn. He went on to add that God knows instantly and effortlessly all matters, every mind, all creatures, all thoughts, all mysteries, all desires, every unspoken secret, all personalities, all things visible and invisible in heaven and in earth, including motion, space, time, life, death, good, evil, heaven, and hell. And God knows all that happens because he is in control of all that happens. This perfect knowledge is tied to who he is as sovereign creator. He is perfectly acquainted with his creation, and all things were created for his glory. We've been watching a documentary series about the Americas, and it features different areas on the two continents and many of the creatures that live there. They've studied these various animals and do an amazing job of showing them in their natural habitat in breathtaking detail. And as I'm watching, all I can think about is how absolutely amazing our God is to have created each and every living thing to fill a purpose within his bigger picture, right down to the smallest gnat. So intricate and so beautiful, and all for his glory. And he takes care of each and every one. Luke 12:6 reminds me that not one sparrow is forgotten before him. And yet this is a world still under the curse. I can't even begin to imagine how beautiful it will be one day when sin is removed from creation. And that's why we as humans were created, to give him glory. And we are the only part of his creation that was made in his image. So we get the added blessing of enjoying him forever. God's knowledge is so far above ours, it is vast, far beyond our ability to fully grasp. Even the greatest mind who has ever lived, the person with the highest IQ, is no match for the infinite knowledge of God. He knows the beginning, the end, and everything in between. His perfect knowledge results in perfect wisdom. That is in such great contrast to ours. Human wisdom is defective because sin has tainted it, and we are unable to perceive the things of God apart from divine revelation. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10 tell us, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. But to us, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. The Holy Spirit is the divine agent who helps believers to know and understand God's truth. We need Him because we are unable to do it on our own. God's ways and thoughts are far beyond human comprehension. In Isaiah 55, 7-9, God speaks of His compassion and desire to abundantly pardon any who would turn from their evil ways to seek Him. His plan is something we would never have dreamed of. His thoughts are higher and His ways far superior to ours because our minds are still affected by our old nature. One commentator described the difference this way. He said, "The earth is our reference point. We stand on it. And even if we are able to climb to the top of Mount Everest, we would still only be on the surface of the earth. The heavens are still light years away from us. God's ways and thoughts are like that, far above us, and so much more profound and noble than ours. That's the vast difference between God's thoughts and ways and ours." 1 John 3:20 says that God is greater than our heart and knows all things. His knowledge surpasses our understanding, and He knows all there is to know about everything, including about you and about me. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So let's turn to Psalm 139. While you're on your way there, I'll read Psalm 33, verses 13-15. Yahweh looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He gazes on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who forms the hearts of them all, He who understands all their works. God sees all people from His exalted position in heaven. He looks, He sees, and He gazes. He closely observes each one of us and all that we're doing, and He understands all we do, all the while considering the source of our conduct. He knows even our inner thoughts. He formed our hearts, so He knows them for what they are. He knows us for who we really are, and the truly amazing thing about that is He loves us anyway. God, in His infinite knowledge, knew us before we were born. He knew all of our sins, past, present, and future. He knows everything we do and why we do it. He knows everything about the human heart and our true lost condition as we stand apart from Him. Romans 6:23 tells us, "The wages of sin is death, eternal death, separation from Him forever." Yet in His mercy, He still gave His Son to be the perfect sacrifice that was necessary to restore us to a right relationship with Him. Romans 5:8 tells us, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So the solution to our sin problem is bound up in His wisdom. Before the world began, God devised His plan of redemption for us so that we might enjoy fellowship and eternal glory with Him. Now let's look at Psalm 139, verses 1-6. All of the commentaries I read included this section of Scripture as a clear illustration of God's omniscience. We'll begin with verses 1-3. "O Yahweh, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways." God knows every detail of our life, intimately and penetratingly. It is impossible to escape from His personal knowledge of us, and He cannot forget what He has once known. There was never a time when He didn't know us. And there will never be even a moment when we will be beyond His observation. He has searched us like a legal authority would do if suspicious of us, or a lawyer in a courtroom trying to get to the details of a case. The only difference being, He already knows. Spurgeon said, "The Lord knows us as thoroughly as if he had examined us minutely and had pried into the most secret corners of our being." It's a personal knowledge, an intimate connection, so very humbling that the Lord of the universe knows me and cares for me. All of my life stood open to him from the beginning, including every sin, but he still called me and saved me for his purpose, all and all to his glory. His knowledge of us includes the times we are awake and the times we are at rest, morning, evening, and through the night. He knows our most common and ordinary activities, our necessary movements, including those household tasks we do each day, our workplace responsibilities, or taking care of that sick child in the early hours of the morning. He knows our actions and the motivations behind them. Our thoughts are always under his consideration. He knows their content, their nature, their source, and their ability to drift where they should not go. And he always accurately interprets them. They are perfectly understood by his impartial mind. Spurgeon said, "With just a glance, he can sum up all the meanings of my soul." We are transparent before him. God is very familiar with everything we do as we walk through our day. Nothing is hidden. To scrutinize means to examine very closely and carefully, to make a thorough and critical review. He sifts our active life and our quiet life, determining what is good and what is not. But while along the way we may stray from his path for us, he will never leave ours. Whether it be a bad habit we can't seem to break, or time wasted that we can't get back, or even a coincidental meeting, things done publicly or in secret, he knows about each and every one, including the details, and he knows our thought process that led us there. This truth alone should reshape the way we spend our time. I know it did for me. Being reminded that God is aware of where I am and what I choose to do at any given moment was good for me. Painful, but good. Spurgeon said, "This should fill us with awe, so that we sin not, with courage, so that we fear not, with delight, that we mourn not." This perfect divine knowledge is cause for fear in those who have something to hide, a secret sin that might be easy to make excuses for, but God knows the real reason we allow it in our lives. Psalm 90, verse 8 says of God, "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." Sin will be exposed. Nothing on earth can hide it from him. This is true for believers, and it's also true for unbelievers, those who don't acknowledge him. This truth can serve to bring us peace as his children, even in the face of the evil acts we see happening around us every day. Proverbs 15:3 assures us that the eyes of Yahweh are in every place, watching the evil and the good. For the believer who has nothing to hide, this knowledge brings comfort. Our Heavenly Father knows us completely. No one can bring a false accusation against us and make it stick. No forgotten skeleton in our closet can come out to expose our shameful past. And no unsuspected weakness in our character can cause God to turn away from us. He knew us before we knew him and called us to himself in the full knowledge of everything that was against us. He knows us as we are and loves us in spite of these things. His son died to pay the penalty for them. We find comfort too, especially in troubling and uncertain times. I may not understand what is happening or why it's happening to me. Oftentimes those around me seem to offer no real help, but God knows exactly every detail that concerns me. He is aware of the tears, the pain, and discouragement, and he knows my heart. He wants me to bring it to him, and he will not overlook my prayer. He is capable of hearing and answering, even while countless others are praying to him at the same time. He pays individual attention to me. Job 23:10 says, "But he knows the way I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." We can be sure that he hasn't forgotten us. God, in his wisdom, has a purpose for us even in our trials. Daily dependence on him, faithfulness to him, and obedience to his word will bring us safely through, and it will serve to grow us more and more into the image of Christ, which is his goal for us, and as his children, it must be ours too. Let's read on in Psalm 139, verses 4 to 6. "Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Yahweh, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and you have put your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it." As we've established, God knows our thoughts so well, it should not surprise us that he also knows what we're going to say, even before we say it. Sometimes we joke with our spouse, saying we really know each other so well, we can finish each other's sentences. But God really knows us, and he knows our thoughts and intentions, even before we say a word. Every word is known to him, both spoken and unspoken. So there isn't even the hope of hiding our evil thoughts behind sweet words. He knows them both. What comes out of our mouth reveals our true heart condition, and we must strive to get that right so that our words reflect a heart renewed and refreshed by God's word. Verses 2, 3, and 4 summarize God's complete knowledge of us. He knows us thoroughly, intimately, inside and out. He knows what we're thinking, he knows what we're doing, and he knows what we're going to say even before we say it. These work together to reveal who we really are before him. Because the Lord knows us so intimately, he can protect and guide each one of us on the way he has for us to go. We are literally surrounded by him on every side. While this might seem like it would be too confining, it actually serves as an assurance of God's protection and tender care for us as his children. Think of a father tenderly leading his child on the sidewalk next to a busy street. He puts his arms around that child, both leading and protecting as they walk along together. God has ordained our circumstances and deals with us where we are. He places his hand upon us, limiting our actions, allowing only what's best for us. We cannot turn back to get away from him. He's behind us. We can't run on ahead of him. He's already there, where we're going. And why would we want to get away from him? We can have confidence as we trust him more and more with our lives, knowing that his wisdom is perfect and his knowledge is infinite. We can be sure he knows what's best for us, even in the smallest details of our lives. There's an old saying, "The devil is in the details," but I beg to differ. I know my God is in the details, and he works them all for my good and his glory. Well, how can we even begin to describe this infinite knowledge that God has about each one of us? David used the word wonderful. In fact, he said it was too wonderful for him to even attain to it. Wonderful, extraordinary, awe-inspiring, miraculous, marvelous, astonishing, surpassing our ability to comprehend with our finite minds. When he described it as being too high, it was with the idea of it being inaccessible, exalted, set on a high plane that others cannot reach. Even though David was king with many wise men and counselors in his service, he could not access or even begin to reach this kind of knowledge. It was above and beyond his ability to obtain. John MacArthur described this intimate knowledge as the greatest of God's ways. And it should lead us to a deeper faith in him and a greater reliance on his divine wisdom and power. I'm sure we've all had those moments while reading God's word that we are overwhelmed with who it reveals him to be. The awareness of God's knowledge is so amazing to our human minds that we really can't even begin to grasp the depths of it. I know I've experienced that in my study preparation for this lesson. A full understanding always seems to be just beyond my grasp. The more I learn about God, the more I understand I have so far to go. I realize how much I don't know, and it drives me deeper into His Word. In describing our inability to comprehend all of who God is, Spurgeon said, "Our mind has no line with which to measure the infinite." We as humans are limited in the knowledge we can attain. He is not. But He has given us His Word. He wants us to know who He is. In fact, He tells us in Jeremiah that a pursuit of the knowledge of His character is the only reason we would ever have to boast. God has allowed us to know Him and His ways, but it is humanly impossible to know them all. The more we know of Him, the more we want to know. One of the greatest truths we can learn is that God's ways are higher than ours. We cannot neatly define or easily explain Him, and the things that He does reveal to us often leave us speechless. Job, in describing the wonders of creation, says in chapter 26, verse 14, "Behold, these are the fringes of His ways, and how only a whisper of a word do we hear of Him." All that can be understood by man is only a glimpse of God's powerful hand. All that can be physically seen in nature is only a small part of all He does. And we are so distant from Him that we hear only a whisper. With our limited and finite minds, we cannot comprehend all God's activities done in His power. Let's look at one last section of Scripture, Romans 11, verses 33 to 35. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became His counselor, or who has first given to Him that it might be repaid to Him? God alone is responsible for all He does. He is the sole designer, the sovereign of all things. No one knows His mind, and He needs no counsel from anyone. He is the one we are accountable to, and the one we should glorify with our lives. He gives us His Word to live by, and as we put Him first, He gives us understanding of how to do that. One commentator said God's decisions and judgments are like a great, deep ocean. No one has been able to go down to the bottom to search them all out. And His ways are so unfathomable that no one will ever be able to follow them. God is under no obligation to repay anyone because no one has ever given Him anything. He had no need that anyone could fill. He owns it all. And we can demand nothing from Him as if He owed us anything, not even answers to our life's questions. He's aware of our trials, even our suffering, but He allows them for His grander purpose in our lives. Verse 36 goes on to say, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." A fitting conclusion to our consideration of God's omniscience. MacArthur said, "God is the source, the sustainer, and the rightful end of everything that exists. All things come from Him, by means of Him, and are for Him, and ultimately for His glory. God is at the center of His plans, and His work does not revolve around us. We tend to put ourselves first and see ourselves at the center of God's plans. But in reality, it's not that way at all. He does what He does for His purpose and for His glory. When we consider the scope and magnificence of His infinitely superior wisdom, we must acknowledge Him for who He is and all He has done and still continues to do. For this, the all-sovereign God deserves all our praise. God's omniscience is not something to be feared or dreaded. It is a blessing and a benefit for us as believers. It provides us with comfort and assurance, knowing He always has His best for us as the goal. And it should fill us with amazement, awe, and adoration. God knows what happened in the past, and He knows what's happening now, throughout the whole entire universe. And He also knows what will happen in the future, from the smallest detail to the largest event that will ever happen in the ages to come. But yet, He knows and cares for me, personally and completely. He has ordained every detail of my life according to His wise and intimate knowledge. Why would I not be willing to trust Him? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for who You are. Thank You that You know each one of us intimately, personally, and You have as the goal to bring us to You, first to be saved, and then to lead and guide us through our life in this world, and one day take us home to glory. Just praise You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for all You reveal to us through Your word. May we draw near to You today, trusting You for today and for tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.